Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Growthpoint Properties Australia half-year results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Timothy Collyer. Thank you, and please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome to the Growthpoint Properties Australia half-year results briefing. Joining me this morning is Dion Andrews, Chief Financial Officer, and Michael Green, Chief Investment Officer, and together we will take you through the presentation. Virginia Spring, who recently joined the team to lead investor relations, is also here and will be happy to take any questions you may have after the call. I will start this morning with a brief overview of our results. Michael will then provide an update on our key markets, our property portfolio and development pipeline. Dion will then give a more detailed review of our financial results. And finally, I'll provide a wrap-up and open it up to questions. Turning to slide four and our first half highlights. It's been another strong start to the year for Growthpoint. Our property team have been very busy with more than 110,000 square metres leased across our portfolio. We signed our longest lease agreement to date, 25 years, with our single largest tenant, the New South Wales Police, for their headquarters in Parramatta just before the end of the year. Michael will go through this agreement in more detail. However, I just wanted to say how pleased I am about this. We pride ourselves on having close relationships with our tenants, and New South Wales Police's decision to commit to our property for the next 25 years demonstrates the strength of our partnership. As a result of this agreement and the significant leasing activity, the portfolio's weighted average lease expiry has increased to 6.4 years. The value of our portfolio has also increased by 5% to $4.2 billion. We've made good progress with our debt book, taking advantage of the current low interest rate environment to refinance some of our existing facilities. Our business is performing well, and I'm pleased to reaffirm our financial year 20 distribution guidance of 23.8 cents per security, representing growth of 3.5% on financial year 19. As you may recall, last year Growthpoint achieved a significant milestone, 10 years since listing on the ASX. We are all proud of the group's track record, which is highlighted on slide five. Since our inception, we have had a clear strategy and have remained focused on our primary objective, to provide security holders, or the owners of the property, with sustainable income returns and long-term capital appreciation from properties we own, develop and manage. To achieve this, we have invested in the best quality office and industrial properties we can afford for our cost of capital. We have actively managed our assets and maintained a high occupancy rate. Over the last 10 years, our total security holder return was 18% per annum, significantly outperforming the AREIT 200 index. And our return on equity was an attractive 13.7% per annum. I'll now hand over to Michael to provide an update on our property portfolio.
Thanks, Tim. I'll start on slide seven with an update of our key office markets, Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane, which represent just below 90% of our office portfolio. As I'm sure many of you are aware, most of our office properties are located in metropolitan markets or on the fringe of CBDs. These are areas that have become increasingly attractive to tenants over the past couple of years, as companies want to offer campus-style workplaces to their employees with a broad range of amenities. This demand has been supported by governments who have invested in infrastructure and transport links. The metro markets in Sydney and Melbourne continue to perform very strongly over the half. Sydney metro markets in particular are performing well. Vacancy rates remain low in most markets, and as a result, we've seen above average base and effective rent growth. In Melbourne, vacancy rates have remained stable despite increased supply, and we are seeing rent growth in some fringe markets. The office market in Brisbane continues to strengthen. Vacancy rates declined over the half, and we're seeing property prices increase as investors are looking outside of Melbourne and Sydney in search of higher yields. Turning to the industrial market on slide 8, demand for well-located industrial properties continues to increase, fueled by the growth in e-commerce. Businesses are focused on being in the right location, near population centres and transport links, due to their desire to achieve fast, efficient delivery. This is translating to increasing industrial land values in core East Coast markets. Appetite to acquire Australian office and industrial property remains very strong, and yields across both sectors have firmed over the half. Turning to slide 9, our property portfolio highlights. It has been another strong half for property valuations, with the value of the property portfolio up 5%. The growth in valuations was driven primarily through assets where we've added value, either through leasing or development. Fundamentals of the business remain strong. We've maintained a high occupancy rate at 98% and a weighted average rent review of 3.3%. The biggest positive is the increase in the weighted average lease expiry from 5 years to 6.4 years, and this has been driven through our leasing success. We agreed 27 new leases or renewals, representing 15% of total portfolio income, or 111,000 square metres during the half, as you can see on slide 10. We are particularly pleased to see an increase in tenant retention, 95% for the half. We actively engage with our tenants throughout their lease to understand their needs, and where possible, we come up with solutions that work for both sides when leases are up for renewal. A great example of this is the New South Wales Police lease, which I'll turn to in a moment. Since the end of the half, we've had an additional 25,000 square metres of leasing success. As a result, we only have 2% of lease expiries remaining in financial year 20. Turning to slide 11, which provides an overview of the new lease agreement for the New South Wales Police. We acquired the New South Wales Police headquarters in 2014 for $241 million. We had spent the preceding 12 months studying the Parramatta office market, and we had identified several themes that we believed would underpin its long-term value. We were encouraged by the multiple government-supported infrastructure projects that were mooted and underway, and strong population growth in Western Sydney. We could see that the decentralisation strategy of the New South Wales state government was leading to several large corporate tenants also wanting to establish a strong presence in the Parramatta market, which is what we believed was the final step in establishing Parramatta as Sydney's second CBD. We also recognised the building itself was a critical part of the police's infrastructure. Since acquiring the property, we've had monthly meetings with the police's representatives, and via these regular catch-ups, we were made aware that the police wanted to make some changes to their fit-out to meet their future operational needs. As a result, we agreed to renegotiate their lease last year, which wasn't due to expire until 2024. We've been able to derive a mutually beneficial solution where Growthpoint locked in a 25-year lease, removing a near-term expiry to the group and securing a significant long-term growing income stream. And the police are able to begin modifying their accommodation. The new lease agreement has driven a large increase to the property's value. It is now valued at $420 million, 19% higher than its 2019 book value, June, and 74% higher than its purchase price. Turning to slide 12. Across our portfolio, we are looking for opportunities to operate in a more efficient way to reduce our environmental footprint. During the half, we invested in several initiatives, including installing solar panels at 75 Dorcas Street, South Melbourne. By installing these panels, we would expect to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by the same amount as would be achieved if we planted 560 trees per annum. I'm particularly pleased that 100 Sky Ring Terrace was awarded a 6-star NABERS rating, the highest level possible. There are only 31 properties across Australia which have achieved this rating, and we now have 2 in our portfolio. We made good progress on our development projects during the half. As you can see on slide 13, we have 1 development project to be completed each year over the next 3 years. We expect that these projects will deliver attractive returns above what we could achieve if we were to acquire similar properties in the market. Gets Cross, our redevelopment of the Woolworths Distribution Centre, is on track to finish at the beginning, FY21. Upon completion, the lease will be reset for 15 years and project costs will be rentalised at 6.75%. We've just reached practical completion at Botanica 3, approximately 2 months ahead of schedule and below budget, as highlighted on slide 14. Botanica 3 is an A-grade office building in Richmond, 3 kilometres east of the Melbourne CBD, and next door to the David Jones Country Road headquarters. By redeveloping the site, we've made a development profit of $36 million, and when fully leased, the value of the property could increase to $200 million. Leasing has been a tad slow. During the half, we have noticed that many businesses have been reluctant to leave their existing premises, which has been beneficial for the majority of our portfolio and contributed to our high occupancy rate, but it has made it a little more challenging at Botanica 3. The building is looking fantastic, and we've seen an increase in inquiries in 2020. We now anticipate that the building will be leased progressively over the next 12 to 18 months. We've made good progress on our site in Broadmeadows. This is a 250,000 square metre site which was previously occupied by Woolworths. On slide 15, you can see the draft of the master plan, and subject to the necessary approvals, we will progressively construct 5 individual warehouses with a total lettable area of 120,000 square metres. It is anticipated that the majority of the buildings will be constructed with flexibility in mind, to enable them to be split into smaller warehouses where demand dictates. Our plan is to build and lease these warehouses progressively so that the site begins generating income in financial year 22. We have lodged a town planning application permit for the first phase of the development, 13,000 square metre warehouse on the vacant lot in the southeastern corner of the site. Subject to approvals, we would anticipate commencing construction of this warehouse by the end of the calendar year. I'll now hand over to Dion, who will take you through the financials.
Thanks. Thanks, Michael. Turning to slide 17 and an overview of our results. As you can see, we've had another strong half. Our net property income increased by 9.2%, driven by an increased contribution from recently acquired assets, including a logistics warehouse in Melbourne's West and 100 Sky Ring Terrace in Newstead, Queensland, along with annual rent increases. These positive contributions more than offset lost income from assets we sold last year. Net finance expenses have decreased due to lower borrowings and a reduced cost of debt, which I'll provide more detail on over the next couple of slides. Income tax expenses were higher this half as Botanica 3 approached completion. Growthpoint is the development manager for this project and earning profits in the company as a result. As practical completion has now been achieved on this project, tax expense will reduce substantially in the second half of FY20, and we would not expect to have significant tax expense in FY21. FFO increased by 11.8% due to the increase in net property income and a reduction in finance costs. There was a smaller increase in FFO per security due to a higher number of securities on issue. As you may remember, we successfully completed an oversubscribed equity raising of $173 million in July. With gearing now below the bottom of our target range, we're looking for further opportunities to deploy that capital, which will be accretive to FFO. Our distribution for the half is 11.8 cents, up 3.5% on the prior corresponding period. This comprises of a distribution of 10.8 cents per unit and a fully franked dividend of 1 cent per share. The fully franked dividend represents the profits from Growthpoint being the development manager for Botanica 3. Turning now to slide 18. As at 31 December, our gearing was 31.4%, 291 basis points below 30 June, and 360 basis points below the bottom of our target range. The reduction in gearing was driven primarily by the equity raising and strong valuations. We can deploy approximately $231 million of our uncommitted debt headroom at a cost of around 1.6% per annum and still remain below the bottom of our target range, which would provide upside to our FY20 guidance. Turning to slide 19. We successfully refinanced three facilities during the half, totaling $250 million of debt, or just under 15% of our debt book. These refinancings led to lower interest rates and extended tenors, and we now have no near-term expiries. As a result of these extensions, we've been able to bring down our average weighted interest rate to 3.7%. We'll continue to work on reducing the cost of debt further in the second half, as debt capital markets continue to provide compelling pricing. I'll now hand back to Tim to provide an update on our outlook.
Thank you, Michael and Dion. And turning to the outlook on slide 21. We are very aware of the economic environment in which we operate. It's no secret that the Australian economy has been characterised by a period of slower growth and consumer and business confidence are below historical averages. However, long-term bond rates and interest rates are low, which is a positive for A-REIT valuations and the cost of debt going forward. Against this backdrop, the group has continued to deliver good results through its investment in a $4.2 billion property portfolio, and we are confident that this will continue. The fundamentals of our business are strong. We only have exposure to the office and industrial markets, attractive growing sectors of the property market. We have a high occupancy rate, a long weighted average lease expiry, good quality government and corporate tenants, and a high proportion of fixed annual rent reviews. Together, these traits allow us to accurately forecast cash flows. Our balance sheet and capital structure is in a healthy position. This enables us to invest in the existing property portfolio and fund future acquisitions to deliver growth. Over the medium term, we are focusing on aligning FFO and distribution growth. Earnings growth will be supported by our development projects, which we expect to progressively complete over the next few years, as well as acquisitions. And finally, we are in the early stages of exploring new income streams that would complement our existing business and utilise our management's expertise. These may include co-ownership models and funds management. We also have more appetite for buying assets where we see some development upside, replicating the success we've had at Botanica 3. Just to reiterate, we are undertaking a preliminary review of different options and no decisions have been made. As I mentioned earlier, we reaffirmed the group's financial year 20 distribution guidance of 23.8 cents per security, which represents a DPS yield of around 5.5% on last night's close. All in all, the business is in a strong position and I am confident that we will continue to create long-term sustainable value for our security holders. We will now open up the call for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. We'll take our first question today from the line of Darren Leung from Macquarie. Please ask your question.
Good morning, guys. Just a quick one In terms of the update on Britannica, how confident are you in terms of the leasing outcomes in the 7.5% to 8.5% yield? Any risk that you don't achieve the low end of this?
Hi, Darren, Michael here. No, we're confident in that. We've recently restated it. Our target rentals are definitely within the band that we expect to hit. So, no, we remain confident in those figures.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Ben Brayshaw from JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Tim and team. Just a couple of questions on Broadmeadows, and perhaps this first one is for Dion. Would you be able to just confirm, please, whether there will be a termination payment booked in the second half of FY20 and approximately what that number will likely be?
Yes, Ben. There certainly will be a termination payment. In fact, we've already received it. It's a surrender fee of 1 year's rent equivalent to $7 million.
Okay, thank you. And on the redevelopment or the planned scheme that you touched on, 120,000 square metres of gross lettable area comprised of multiple warehouses, are you able to give some feedback on your expectations around incremental yield on cost? So in other words, given the current book value plus the anticipated CapEx, where do you anticipate that the asset will be insofar as the yield on book value plus forecast expenditure?
Thanks, Ben. It's Tim here. Yes, we're in preliminary stages, so we haven't got all the costings in or approvals and so forth. So we haven't determined that, and as soon as we have that updated information, have board approval, have planning approval, we'll be able to update the market.
Okay. So will you be looking to capitalise interest on Broadmeadows throughout the construction period?
Ben, it's down here, yes. Once it's entered development, we'll start to capitalise the interest on that development.
And that will just be on, just to confirm, that will just be on the incremental CapEx. Is that correct?
Yes. We'll determine the correct accounting, but yes, it should just be on the incremental spend when it enters development.
Thank you. And finally, Tim, you mentioned in the call that you'll be looking to, I suppose, explore new revenue streams. You called out funds management. Where do you see opportunities in that space, perhaps going forward, please?
Yeah, once again, it's early. I mean, we look at our business as a whole, and we have a very strong office portfolio, industrial portfolio. We have a mandate to invest in retail. We still think retail investment wouldn't be a good strategy at this point. And we're just casting our eye further to what income streams may be, and so we're investigating funds management, and that sort of strategy is yet to be determined, but we'll possibly look at some of our existing assets, co-ownership models and so forth.
Would you consider acquisition of a funds management platform, or would your preference be to build that organically?
As I said, we're just forming our views at this stage, so I couldn't comment on either strategy that you mentioned.
Okay, thanks, Tim.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We'll take our next question from the line of Stuart McLean from Macquarie. Please ask your question.
Hi, Stuart here. Darren's line just having some issues. Just two further questions here. Firstly, just on guidance, you acquired an asset in September at Truganina. Just curious as to why that didn't impact guidance for FY20.
Yeah, Stuart, I can take that one. Listen, our guidance is still set at least 25.4 cents. It was a smaller asset, and as you recall, when we raised our equity of $173 million, we were anticipating a $50 million acquisition. that asset actually fell out of, after we'd agreed due diligence and agreed the price, that transaction didn't proceed, yet we did manage to buy a $40 million asset. So that explains no change to the guidance.
Okay, so largely offset each other. And then just in the media, there are reports of an office complex out at Macquarie Park that Growthpoint was potentially interested in there. Can you just talk about if that is still live? And then secondly, just on the timing of deployment of proceeds from here?
It's Tim here. I haven't seen that article, so
I think it relates to the glass house.
I think
Charter Hall
there was an asset sale in Macquarie Park that Charter Hall purchased some time ago. So I think that property has been purchased, so I think that sort of satisfies that. As far as deploying some of our capital, we are looking at opportunities continually, and we would, if it was a right opportunity, we would deploy that capital immediately. So, yeah.
Is there anything that's currently on market that you're looking at this stage, or do you think we'll need to continue to be patient there?
There's limited stock on the market at the moment, so we're looking at a few options off market, but the market is market, and we're just bit.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a further question from the line of Darren Leung from Macquarie. Please ask your question. Hi, Darren. Your line is now open. We'll move on. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. And we have another question queued from the line of Edward Day from Moelis Australia. Please ask your question.
Good morning. Just a little bit more on Botanica. Just wondering if you can give some insight into the sort of the types of inquiry you've had, and just given current challenges, where do you see that abating in the near term?
Sure. We've had inquiry from a variety of different sources, I suppose. We've had sort of healthcare groups, aged care groups. We've had some IT groups looking at it. We've had some engineers looking at it. Government, retailers, so almost the whole spectrum. We unfortunately had a couple of transactions that we expected, leases that we expected to sort of go through at the back end of last year that just fell over at the last hurdle, and they ended up re-signing in their current premises. So we've got a number of other tenants that we're dealing with at the moment, and we, as I mentioned on the call, we expect it to be leased up in the next 12 to 18 months.
Sure. Thank you. And then just on your like-for-like NPI growth for industrial, that was a bit less than 1%. Is there anything in particular that dragged there, and where would you expect that, I guess, over the next 12 months?
It was a little lower, really down to some vacancy that we had at 13 Business Street, one of our properties during the half, and one of our assets out at the Melbourne Airport, resetting its rent after 15 years of rent growth.
And going forward to the next 12 months?
We don't provide like-for-like guidance, but if we can fill those vacancies, and now that reversion has gone through, hopefully we can improve from that below 1% level.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. It appears there are no further questions at this time. I would now like to hand the conference back to today's presenters. Please continue.
I'd just like to wrap up by saying thank you, and we will be in contact with you all over the coming days as we complete our results marketing. So thank you very much for attending the conference this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may all now disconnect.